You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Friday. And we're glad you're with us. Listen, we've had a great conversation going. We just had Dr. David Calderwood, who has been very active with frontline doctors and America's Frontline Doctors and Concerned Doctors, organizations that say, let doctors be doctors. Let us do the things that we were trained to do. Stop telling us we have to toe a narrative. And I so appreciated his candor and his love of freedom. Well, I tell you what, something else is going on right now is around the nation, you're beginning to see the individualized call for mask mandates. Hospital associations in California, school district in Georgia, you're seeing it roundabout. President of the United States the other day was wearing a mask for like 5 minutes. But our U.S. Senator Katie Britt recently joined her Republican colleagues on the Senate floor in support of legislation by Ohio's J.D. Vance called the Freedom to Breathe Act. So let me stop talking about it and just talk to her about it and bring her on right now. Senator Katie Britt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Phil. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. I appreciate the opportunity to continue to bring attention to this important issue. As you said, we are seeing efforts across our nation to reinstitute mandates that we saw during COVID, during the pandemic, that we know set our country and set so many children back in a number of ways, from school lockdowns to masking of small children as they're looking to try to learn how to read and to communicate and to express themselves. And we are saying enough is enough. I was proud to join J.D. Vance on the floor to support an important piece of legislation. What we did was ask for unanimous consent to say that, you know, we would prohibit air carriers, transit authorities, and educational institutions from refusing service to individuals that choose not to wear a mask, and that we would say we were not going to go backwards. We were going to learn from our mistakes of the past. And make sure that we protected freedom and individual liberty and people's choice in this nation. And unfortunately, Phil, to no surprise, Democrats objected.
Yeah. Well, of course they did. It defeats their narrative, first of all, and it also defeats their desire for perpetual control by government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you would think even the liberal New York Times has come out, Phil, and said that there was no difference when it came to the health outcomes of states that instituted lockdowns and instituted mask mandates to those who did not, that it did not, one state did not prevail stronger than the other when it came to that. But I'll tell you what they did say is those who did not institute lockdowns were all obviously better economically. We know that that allowed small businesses to thrive. It allowed communities to keep moving. It allowed people to keep working. But I think we have to remain vigilant. Here we are moving into an election cycle. We see it heating up, and we know that people are working to institute fear. And that's what happens, Phil, in my opinion, when you don't keep your eyes on the Lord and you rest in something else. And we've got to continue to move forward, and we've got to continue to say we will not go backwards. We will not do this again.
No, that's so well said, and thank you for talking about resting in the Lord. The I said many times because my show came on the air a little over 2 years ago, and so I was in the height of the pandemic talking on the air, and I said back then more often than not it felt like the fear of COVID and the fear invoked about COVID was worse than the symptoms of COVID at times. And I didn't mean to minimize the fact that I know people died. I know people were still drastically affected by it. But in general speaking, our society seemed like it got crushed by fear as much as anything.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. We need to embrace individual liberty and facts rather than allow our society to once again be gripped by fear. Now, we're not taking no for an answer while our The unanimous consent did not prevail. We actually have an amendment I am a co-sponsor of. We're introducing a version of the Freedom to Breathe Act as an amendment to the first appropriations package. So when we move forward with that, that package, as it currently rests, has the transportation element in it. It has THUD is what we call it. And we have an amendment, you know, obviously showing with the air travel, the public transit, all of those aspects to say, you know, you cannot deny people the right of service if they are not masked. So we're going to keep pushing and keep continuing to keep this in the news, make sure that people are talking about it, that no one is resting, and that we protect people, protect freedom and liberty moving forward. That's what we've got to do.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for that, Senator. Hey, listen, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left before you go. And even though it's not part of the topic that I've been covering, I got you on the phone, so I have to ask. Hunter Biden indictment. Biden appears to have a layer of corruption attached to his entire network. His whole extended family seems to have tentacles. But I look at this and think, this is awful. I mean, we had with Trump, it was Russia, 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 and you know, and but yet there's always proof they were going to show us and never did. In this case, we've got some pretty serious stuff. What are you thinking about the impeachment inquiry and the Hunter Biden indictment and all of it?
Well, first off, I mean, the American people deserve answers to what is happening. When you look at the Hunter Biden indictment, you know, look, I'm glad that he is being held accountable. He's going to have to answer questions with regards to these charges and the drug and gun-related charges. However, I want to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball with what he has done with regards to foreign business dealings and the monetary influx that he received as a result of those during his father's tenure. It is absolutely unacceptable. I mean, you look at the number of companies that were formed by the Biden family that they, you know, control. There were more than a network of 20 companies formed by Biden family and associates. And most of those were formed when he was vice president, and at least $10 million, Phil, $10 million of foreign companies were going to, you know, their family, their business dealings. It showed up in their accounts. And the American people want to know that the office of the vice president, the office of the president of the United States is not for sale.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with Hunter Biden, we have seen the Department of Justice and others look the other way. It is time for some accountability. We have to return to where people have faith in our government, and that means showing that justice is blind and that the scales of justice, you know, that they are equal.
Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, the House has a slim majority. The Republicans don't have the majority, but it's you know, it's almost, I mean, it's close to 50-50, really, in the Senate.
Yep.
But that being said, if the, and I described it for my listeners, because I lived through the Bentley situation in Montgomery and was there in the state Senate, so I've seen it at the state level when we were referring potential articles of impeachment, what we're going to do in the Senate. In your case right now, do you feel like if the House is able to successfully refer articles of impeachment to the Senate, is the Senate going to take it up and move it forward? What do you think would happen in this regard?
You know, I am, obviously, I hope that people remember what our job is. Our oath of office is to the Constitution. It is to fight to preserve this nation. And I hope that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle will remember that. Obviously, impeachment of any president is not something you take lightly.
Right.
We're looking at what is happening right now across the board, and we want to make sure that that we are judicious and that the evidence is there. And if that is the case, then we proceed. The truth is, when the House came and spoke with us just on Wednesday, we had two members of the House that came over to really give us some insight into what was going on over there and why they were proceeding and how and on what the evidence was. And it was compelling.
Yeah.
On its face, it was compelling. I'm going to let that process play out. I know it's the Senate's job, obviously, to be the jury. Once that takes place, that's something I take very seriously. But I have deep concern with what I've heard. And I know that the American people are sick of the scales of justice being tilted against those who they politically disfavor. And it seems that both Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have have been the beneficiary of that, and it's time to get to the bottom of it and to get to the facts.
Well, I would agree. I think at least 84 million voters in America agree. Well, Senator, thank you for making time for us today. We appreciate you coordinating your schedule. And I know you're on the road right now, and you even pulled over to take a call.
I did, and I know we have to get off, but I hope that I hope your listeners are paying attention to what the disastrous deal that Biden made with Iran. And I don't even think you can call it a deal. And you probably have already spoken about it today, but I want to make sure they understand these American citizens that were held have done nothing wrong, and we traded them for people who received due process under the law, who were rightfully convicted. We traded not only head for head, which is mind-boggling, but we also freed up $6 billion for the Iranian government to use as they see fit. Now, we have said, our government has said, oh, there will be accountability. That is false. No matter what is done, even if there is accountability to certain dollars, they will free others up, and unfortunately, they will use them. They are the largest state sponsor of terrorism in this globe. This is disastrous. It is pathetic, and it is beneath the office of the president to make a quote-unquote deal like this, and the American people and the people of Israel are the ones that are going to pay the price.
But, Senator, you do know, don't you, that Joe Biden, foreign policy was his thing. That's what he does.
Oh, hey, and who was it that said there was never a foreign policy decision where he made the right one? I think let's count this one in it. And how gross for him to inform Congress on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
It just absolutely tone deaf to what this nation means to this. And this is a direct result, too. I mean, we see these things happen. Let's look back, Phil. You've got Brittany Griner. And again, I am always happy for Americans to come back on our soil. So please do not mistake what I am saying for I am always happy to welcome them back home. But governments are starting to see. You saw that with Russia when, you know, we made that swap. We made others that if you take Americans hostage, that you will get what you want. And we cannot negotiate with these types of people and certainly pay ransom in this way.
Well said. Nothing to add to that, but we appreciate you throwing it in there. Thank you so much, Senator, and thanks for what you do. Stay in the fight, all right?
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Take care. That's your U.S. Senator, Katie Britt, one of two we've got, her and Tuberville. And, you know, and I tell you what I appreciate is so far, I mean, I got no complaints. I got no complaints. I'm watching both Britt and Tuberville take stands that others who have been up there for years won't take. And the two of them are fairly new on the scene, and they're taking the stands, and it means the world. All right, listen, we'll take some text messages, get you caught up on that, and kind of move our way through. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.